welcome to OK Sis Podcast.
Hi, sisters. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Scout.
And we are sisters IRL.
I'm the older one.
Yes, Scout, we know.
We're cultural observers.
And of curious minds.
Get ready for sisterly banter while we chat about fixations, learnings, and personal growth.
We promise it'll be a good time.
As long as you don't get too loud, Mads.
Welcome to the sisterhood! Hello, and welcome back to OK Sis. My name is Mads.
My name is Scoutala, and I feel like that, hello, welcome, like, it needs to be, oh, geez, can we make it a TikTok sound where it's like just a, it's like a presenter in Vegas?
No, it's like, it's an auctioneer.
It's an auctioneer. Oh, God.
Hello,
I'm telling you, please don't do that because
why?
Just, it's an audio experience, and I'm thinking about the sisterhood and the community.
Podcast is an audio experience.
Yes, and you're talking about audio experience, your computer just made a weird noise.
It was like Harry Potter over there. I don't know.
Oh my God. Do you know when we were little, we were sitting in the car and I had this wand that was clear. And remember how cars used to have the top layer strip light blue on the top of the windshield?
No.
Okay. So they used to have that. And
every car?
Most cars. I actually have, this just came to mind. I can't believe that's not a thing with cars anymore. And I had the wand out, and when I moved it forward, the light blue would turn the wand blue. And so I said, Mads, I got admitted to Hogwarts. I got a thing in the mail, and you believed me because I turned the clear wand into blue.
I have no recollection of this.
You were maybe 5?
Wow. Also, were we Harry Potter stans?
Okay,
here we go. Once and for all.
Here's the hot take from me. Not a fan of the books, never was. I was little, elementary school. I was probably about 7 when the Harry Potter, maybe 6 when the Harry Potter books came out, and my little pretentious literature self went outside and read the Harry Potter books and came back and said,
how many?
I read halfway through 3.
Okay.
And I said, it's not good prose. Not good prose. So
JK Rowling.
Rowling.
Sorry, JK.
Sorry, JK. So I was never a fan of the books, but I am a whole heart fan of the movies. It is how we grew up. And people will fight me because I don't like the books, but Harry Potter defined our generation growing up, I believe.
Yeah, of course. So yeah, I never read the books until I was with you with the movies. We were like front row there at the movies. We were big Harry Potter cinema fans. And then one summer, it was the summer before my senior year of high school, I went to Israel and I just decided, I said, this is the summer.
I remember
where I read every single Harry Potter book. And I did. Actually, just kidding. I read 5.5. Now, the 5th one, don't cancel me. I think the largest one or something. And I just couldn't get through it. So, yeah, we're not on the like fanatical side of Harry Potter life.
Yeah. Although when I watch it, it feels very nostalgic. It feels like childhood. Me and Adam have done the marathon of Harry Potter.
I haven't done
multiple
it in a
times.
While.
I mean, we just finished the Marvel.
I know.
The Avengers Endgame, which is the last movie in chronological order of the series. Obviously, not including the new Wanda and Vision and Winter Soldier and the Falcon.
I'm seeing Shang-Chi.
No.
What's it called?
I don't know.
The one that's coming out this week.
Oh, with Scarlett. Is that the Scarlett Johansson one?
No, the one with Awkwafina.
I don't know what that is.
Wait, you don't know a Marvel movie and I do?
Awkwafina's in a Marvel movie?
Where the... Okay, you are obviously not a Marvel fan. Our sister...
Excuse me?
So our sister...
Excuse me?
Our stepsister texted us.
Who has seen every Marvel movie ever?
Okay, so why don't you know this one?
I don't know. It's not on the fucking Apple TV. Why isn't it... No, on the Disney Plus.
Because it's coming... I wish I got that on video. People can't see, but Luna just got like her butt flew in the air. All right. Anyways, so our stepsister texted me and said, want to go to Shang-Chi this week. I think that's what it's called. I really hope that's what it's called. And I was like, English, please. I was like, can you please elaborate what this is? And she said, the new Marvel movie.
Okay, Shang-Chi. It's called Shang-Chi. Wait, I'm looking it up right now because I cannot. Mads, because I don't know.
It's a new character.
Is it a...
Awkwafina.
Is it a comedy? Is it more like Ant-Man?
It's unclear. I don't know what it is, but it is a Marvel movie, and wow, I can't believe I know it and you don't. That is.
I mean, I don't know a lot of things that are coming out, so the fact that it's in theaters is throwing me for a loop because most of the stuff is being put on Disney Plus. That's why I haven't seen it.
No. This is going in the theater.
Wow, this is incredible. Yeah. Incredible.
Wow, I can't believe I gave you Marvel news. This is exciting.
Yeah, this is really exciting. I am like diving deep into this tonight. I can't. Oh my God. I have sex, Adam. There's more.
Yes.
We didn't finish.
I think Adam knows about this. I was talking to him yesterday about it.
He didn't share that with me.
There's a disconnect here.
I literally was bawling hysterically at the end of Endgame. I mean, I know there's more Marvel stuff coming out, but we're literally watching Nora from Queens right now. Why would he not even say that?
I don't know.
Because we're watching Awkwafina right now.
Do you like that show?
I love it. It's
really.
I mean, I am a huge Awkwafina fan.
I think she is.
She's brilliant.
I think she's superior. Brilliant.
Oh, she's totally superior.
She is elite. I love her.
Yeah, I love her so much. Wow. Well, I know what I'm doing this weekend. I'm going to see Shang-Chi.
I'm going on Friday.
Oh, God. Wow. You made my day.
This is coming out, though, after it's been released. And
yeah. So at this moment that you're listening to Sisters, we're actually in Tulum.
In Tulum.
That's the weird part about creating content on the internet. Tulum. But anyway, sisters, we have an incredible episode for you. We did a podcast swap with Natalie Barbu. You might know her from her podcast, The Real Real Podcast.
Do you put the emphasis on Barbu or Barbu?
Natalie Barbu.
I say Barbu.
Oh, hot take.
Hot take. I mean, I said it many times on the pod because I just love saying her name.
Yeah, Matt is obsessed with her name. But anyways, moving on. She is a YouTuber, content creator. She's got an amazing podcast, The Real Real.
Yes.
She's got a new app coming out.
Rella.
Yep. So she's just as we say on the OK Sis, a multifaceted woman. And we had
multi-hyphenate.
We had an incredible conversation. It was concentrated in the theme of social media fatigue, social media burnout, our digital selves versus our IRL selves, the pressures that content creators face, and the debate between quantity versus quality.
Yeah. And she's such a veteran on the internet. So we got a lot of tips on how she balances, how she understands the draw to always create content versus like actually just living in that moment and being.
Mm-hmm. We talk about romanticizing our lives offline, which is a really great moment. So it was just in depth. Really, we all ended feeling really hopeful.
Nourished.
Really creative, really inspired.
Soul was nourished.
Yeah. It was just nice to dive deep into a topic that I think so many of us are thinking about, especially those on the content creation side, but also just those on the consumer side who are just consuming content on a daily basis. How do we make this space more creative and imaginative? We talk about the downside of the casual vibe versus the curated vibe on Instagram.
Spoiler alerts, like,
I know, but this is
saying
like
a lot.
I know, but they don't know what we said.
Oh.
They have to listen to hear the opinions.
Well.
This is what you call a teaser.
Oh, clickbait.
Okay. We can
clickbait.
We can go with that. Okay, sisters, enjoy. The other day, my cousin looked at me and asked if I got a treatment in my hair. I said no, but I am taking Nutrafol. You see, sisters, I had some shedding issues postpartum when it came to my hair, so I made it my mission to support my hair growth and strengthen my hair. I mean, Mads, you saw my hair last time I was up in LA and you even complimented me, which, sisters, you know that when Mads compliments me, it's a big deal.
I do have to give this one to you, Scout. Your hair is looking thick, strong, and beautiful. When it comes to hair thinning, it's complicated. The problem is, it's actually much bigger than your hair alone. Like your skin, hair is a reflection of your health, and internal factors can impact the way your hair looks, feels, and grows. Nutrafol's whole body approach multi-targets underlying root causes like stress, hormone fluctuations, and nutrient gaps for visibly thicker and stronger hair.
Every morning after I eat breakfast, I take 4 pills and it becomes a seamless addition to my morning routine. But the reason I decided to go with Nutrafol when supporting my hair health is that Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. Oh, also, Nutrafol makes the best Mother's Day present, especially for new moms. The perfect way to show them that you care about their postpartum support.
Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code OKSIS. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code OKAYSIS. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code OKSIS.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Hi.
Hello, Natalie Barboo.
Hi, I'm so excited that we're finally doing this.
Absolutely. Also, I love saying your name. That's why really? I like dragged it out like that, because it's just really fun for me to say.
Natalie Barboo is the guest. She's like the ghost of OK Sis, because she should have been on like a year and a half ago. You know what I mean?
The ghost of OK Sis. I love it.
I really should have been. Like, I feel like we have been meaning to be on each other's podcast for so long, and it's finally happening. So I'm just very excited.
Well, welcome to OK Sis. We love you dearly. I just want to start off by saying your energy and temperament is so soothing to me. And as a non-soothing person,
you know,
that
some
I am,
people say that about me.
Yeah, but you're too close to me because you're my sister. I can't really, you know, you don't soothe me the way that Natalie Barboo soothes me. You know
got
what I mean?
It. Got it.
You know?
Yeah, I hear
you. Do you get that a lot? Like, there's this calming energy that you project. It's amazing.
Thank you. No, I get that, like, my voice is soothing sometimes, like, on the podcast. But then, like, you'll also get comments that's like, your voice is so annoying. So it's just like, whatever. Like, you get both sides of it. But no, I have gotten that on the podcast, that people say I have a good podcast voice.
100%. And so we are both part of Podcast Nation. So welcome to the crew.
Oh, that's right. We're network sisters. I totally forgot about that.
We're network sisters.
Yeah, I'm like, I was so happy when I was able to like sign with the network, and then I saw that you guys had signed like literally a few days before, and I was like, oh my God, like, yay, this is a legit thing. It's okay.
Also, exactly. Further proof that this swap should have come like a year and a half ago. So
I know.
I feel like we have a lot of the same audience, like a lot of people listen to both of us, and it would just like, we've just never made it happen. So I'm glad it's finally happening.
Like-minded audiences. Like, look at us. We're just doing the like crossover exactly. of the century. It's amazing. So Scout and I were talking right before we jumped on the mic, and we have been feeling, and I am sure as a internet veteran that you are, that you might be feeling something like this or have experienced this throughout your 10 years on the internet, which like, holy shit. I've just been feeling incredible social media fatigue to a degree that I have never felt before. It's almost as if I open the app and I get angry. I open Instagram, I open any type of social media content creation platform, and I just don't feel inspired. I feel completely depleted. I feel like I'm a machine churning out things. And I was watching TikTok once, and there was once, as I do every day, I saw a TikTok and this girl, she's, you know, she is an account that talks about Instagram growth and everything. And she was saying, you know, I've done all the tactics, I've done all the strategies, and it wasn't working. And then I realized that it was this desperate energy that I was putting out into the world, and my followers could feel it. Like, yes, I was growing a little bit, like they were working, but it wasn't until I just was like, fuck it, I'm going to be myself, I'm going to have fun, that I actually felt a return. And I feel like I am missing that right now. I am like, I'm so uninspired. Is this resonating at all?
Oh my God. Yeah. Like, I feel like every time I am also on like Instagram or TikTok or whatever, I feel like there's so much pressure to do well, because like TikTok, for example, you see these people blow up, you see these people get like millions and millions of views, and you're like, why am I not getting that? Like, I'm posting content, I'm trying to like blow up on this channel, or like, oh, well, I used to do really well on it and now I'm like not doing well. So like, what's going on? And that literally happens to me all the time, or like, especially with having like a schedule, because I upload twice a week on YouTube, once a week on the podcast.
Twice a week
on
YouTube?
Instagram and TikTok, it's just like, yeah. And then Instagram and TikTok, it's like, whatever. Like, I don't have a structure for that. But like, with that like strict schedule, which is good because like obviously structures your life, it also feels like so much pressure. Like, oh my God, what am I uploading? Do I even like what I'm uploading? Like, I'll be editing a video sometimes and I'm like, I literally hate this video, but like, I'm uploading twice a week, so I have to upload it. And it just like sucks.
There's such a fine line though, because for people who are really in this, obviously for content creation, for their careers, etc., if you don't have a structure and the consistency and you just go with the inspiration and the fun, etc., you can go a really long time without posting anything relevant or anything that's going to keep you going, because there is an algorithmic thing to it in a certain way. So I always struggle with, you know, am I saying something important every single time? Am I posting just to post? But at the same time, quantity, it's like there's no more quantity or quality. It's quantity and quality. I say it with Scouts Agency all the time. My clients come to me and they're like, I just want to be on the top podcast. I'm like, listen, it's quality and it's quantity. Like, quality has to be throughout the whole thing, but we can't ignore the quantity aspect. And so for me, I just have been thinking about it lately. I had like a total breakdown today, because not only am I trying to obviously be on Instagram, be on the podcast, and I'm trying to have a newsletter and do your like fucking filtration where you repurpose content. And at what point do we think this bubble is going to fucking burst? Like, at what point is it going to burst?
I don't know, because like, they have made it so we're addicted. So I don't know, when is the addiction going to end? I have no idea. I think the addiction just gets replaced with another social media. Like, Instagram, people are like over and now like going to TikTok. Like, I don't think Instagram's like fully dying, but I think that a lot of people are on TikTok now more than before, and it's probably hurting Instagram's numbers. So it's just like, oh, we're tired of Instagram, so let's go to TikTok. But then like, we get addicted to something else. So I don't know like when it ends. Like, when do we get off the wheel?
Yeah. So what have you enacted in your past? Because you have been on the internet, and I'm looking to you as like a wise sage here. You are like a veteran. You understand what anxiety and the internet probably means, right? So what are some things that you have seen that help you to kind of alleviate some of this pressure? Because it's not like you can take a digital detox, or it's not like you can, you know, just put pause for a month and just chill. So
also saying like, all three of us are content creators and we still want to be content creators. Like, that's what I feel like the most important thing is like, I want to be in this game. I want to be posting podcasts. I want to be posting Instagram. But like, exactly, like, what do you do to keep the inspiration fresh while the pressure low?
Yeah, it's really hard. I would say that a lot of times I will just like ask my followers like what they want to see, or I'll film exactly what I want, even if it doesn't get me views. Like, a lot of times on YouTube, I'll post a vlog that like I really love, but I know that it probably won't get me views, I'm just like, whatever, I'm being consistent, I'm still gonna post. And if this one doesn't do that well, like, so what, you know? So I don't like put pressure on every single video to do well. Or like, if I post TikToks, I'm not assuming every single one of them is going to go viral. I'm just posting because I want to post. It's like being strategic with the ones that you think will do well. So like, every now and then I'll try to think, okay, what's like popular on YouTube? What's popular on TikTok? What can I like participate in? But I don't put the pressure on every piece of content to do amazing, because it's just not going to happen. Like, the YouTube studio, I don't know if you guys ever are on YouTube, but
yes,
if
Natalie, do you post Natalie, on YouTube? I am a new YouTuber, and it's
okay.
Fucking
I
hard.
Wasn't 100%
I literally
sure.
I look like, to you, and I'm like, I empathize. I am just in awe of what you you and OG YouTubers have done over the years. It is such a draining platform, especially because of the editing process. I found it to be, honestly, like sometimes I won't film things because I know I'll have to edit it. Does that make sense? I'm like, I'm doing something cool and I'm like, okay, this is great for the vlog. Gotta do it. But I won't record it because I don't want to edit it. So
yeah,
it's just this, and it's a whole beast on itself. I don't think anyone really appreciates YouTubers and what they accomplish twice a week.
Yeah. And like on the like YouTube studio, it says like anytime you post a video, it's like this video is 1 out of 10 or 9 out of 10. Like it ranks it against your other previous 10 videos. So like you literally see like, oh my God, this video I uploaded is a 10 out of 10, which means horrible. Like it's like the worst video I've uploaded out of the past 10. So that's why I really try not looking at that. I try just like reading my comments and answering comments and like uploading it and leaving it away, like turning it off, like not looking at it. Because if you put pressure on yourself that every piece of content has to be amazing, you're just like gonna be so drained. So I try not to do that. I try just to be like, I'm just gonna be consistent. And then every now and then I'm gonna think of like video ideas that I think are gonna do well and I'll upload those. But like, I don't care about how the other ones do. Like the other ones don't do amazing, like whatever. But as long as I'm consistent, because for me, like consistency is so important. Like I think that is like the one of the number one things you need to be. So like don't try to make every piece of content like a masterpiece, I guess.
There's the quantity over the quality. Like, I mean, consistency is so important, because if not, it's just the kind of repetitive nature of quote unquote the way we consume content, is that we predict it to be there. Like I listened to this podcast and they went on a break last week and it wasn't there, and I was like, where should I DM her and let her know, like maybe there's something wrong with her hosting site that it, but she just took a break, you know. And just to view that in myself of like, whoa, yeah. One, where's this piece of content? I was fucking expecting it. And then two, oh, there must be something wrong technically. And then three, like me wanting to reach out to her to see what's going on. That's how the consumer's mindset gets fed content. We're used to it on a certain day every week with YouTube, podcasts, and then Instagram's just kind of like this 24/7 leap. I want to talk a little bit, because some of the sisters might not be content creators. And I think it's really, correct me if I'm wrong, Natalie, because Mads and I were talk about it a little bit, but the challenges of content creation can come across as stupid challenges because people don't understand the work that goes into content creation, the imagination, the creativity, the showing up, the consistency, etc. And so sometimes I fear about talking about it can turn people off in a way, because they don't actually, because unless you are a content creator, you don't really understand the rinse and repeat kind of like fatigue of the every week you do this, every week you do this. So what you just said is really great, to not place so much pressure on every piece of content, because every time I post a reel, like I'm fucking scrolling to see how many views it gets every single time. And it's always the ones that I don't look at and don't even think twice about that do the best. And so there is like a huge energetic component. But for the sisters listening who aren't content creators, who feel like social media as a consumer of content is feeling toxic or exhaustive, etc., I've been thinking about doing a whole home feed refresh, to be honest. What are some tips that you have to
just as a consumer,
yeah, like having relationship to your feed?
Yeah,
I would definitely set time limits. I have an hour time limit on Instagram every day, and I have an hour time limit on TikTok every day. Do I follow them every single day? No. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I was posting for my job. Like I was posting for like YouTube stuff, or I was posting for whatever. So like, I'm going to extend this because it wasn't like all leisurely like scrolling. So sometimes I definitely extend it, but the time limit is there to remind you, like, get off your phone. You've been on for way too long. Like no one needs to be on Instagram for more than an hour a day. Like that's so much scrolling. You're literally spending an hour. Like how many pieces of content are you consuming? Because it's not like it takes you a minute to look at one piece of content. Like you're scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. So I think for like Instagram and TikTok, I set those limits. And I also unfollow a lot of people. Like I go on regular unfollowing sprees, like honestly, probably quarterly. Like I just go through and I'm like, I go through everyone I'm following and I'm like, unfollow, 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 unfollow. And it's nothing personal. It's just like, I don't care to see your stuff anymore. And it's just noise and it's a distraction. Or like, I feel bad when I see your stuff because like either I'm jealous or I wish I had something, like whatever it is, you know. Like also I'll just unfollow them if I'm not like feeling good vibes when I see their stuff, to be honest.
Yeah. Oh no, this is a very pro unfollow podcast. We are very,
at the very least, yeah, mute.
The very least mute. And so something you said is something that I've been trying to I don't know if it'll work, but I'm just trying to think of different ways that I can approach the apps. Is so, for instance, I mean, we treat it as a business like you do. Before OKSis, I never treated social media as a business, so it's very, very difficult. So you have to be on it. But what I've been trying to think of is maybe I place like an office hours, right? So I'm building a travel recommendations app called Camber, and I'm on Instagram, and I want to do like, I will be on 12 to 1. That is when I respond to every comment. That's when I respond to every DM. That is when I engage. That is it. And I post. Done. But it's tricky because it's like the algorithm tells you you have to be responding to comments the first hour that you post something, or then you're fucked, or you have to respond to every DM. And if you don't, then the customers, you know. So,
you know what? I actually feel as if this is going to sound kind of crazy, but I actually feel as if all of that strategy is kind of almost like the old financial institution shit that we're told about how to make money. And then that's like the lack mindset of you have to show up, you have to do more, you have to be on top of it, or else it's never going to come to you. And it's never going to come to you unless you do these things. When in actual reality, the way to build a community, which is probably why OKSis popped off in the beginning, is if you are in this abundant, carefree, just energetic space and not worried about all of like the man watching over you, you know?
I think I'm going to try that and see what happens, because I saw an account do this where they were like, we will only be online during this time. So if, and it was like, a self-care thing. So they were like, if you need to reach us, that's the hour. That's the hour we'll be here. We will respond right away, or see you tomorrow. Like, it's just.
Can we do that with email too? Shit.
This is our office hours. Like, it's just, you know. It's
bring back real fucking office hours.
Let's go back to school.
I know. I've seen people's signatures on their email that's like, I will get back to you tomorrow. Like, don't, I get off at 5. Like, it's like this like long thing of like, I get off at this time. I'm going to get back to you tomorrow. Do not follow up within 24 hours. Like, I'm like, I need to add that in my email signature. But I totally hear what you're saying. Like, I think it is that kind of like desperate energy that you were talking about earlier of like, you have to be on at this time from this time and responding to every comment. And like, I like to think that like the stuff I'm putting out there is valuable, or like not valuable, but you know, provides value and is something meaningful, not just a generic, oh my God, I have to be on and I have to engage. So let me do an engagement hour of like liking everyone's thing and like liking comments and responding thank you to everyone's comment. And, you know, I feel like that's kind of like fake. Like it kind of just sounds like a robot talking. And like, if I'm responding to a DM, yeah,
it is. How many times can you say thank you? Like on my book launch, when everyone was wishing Mazel Tov, I was like, thank you, love you, you're the best, emoji. And it was just emoji. It was a repetition of like 7 different responses.
Throwback.
Yeah. I know. It's kind of like when everyone's saying happy birthday to you on like Facebook and you just had to like all of them. Like it's similar to that, except for like every single picture thing that you post, like. So I think it's one of those things where like I'm trying to DM or I'm trying to respond to my DMs that I can actually put in a thoughtful response, like where I can actually say like have a conversation with people. And like the people that DM me, you know how like Instagram, like when you DM someone, like you're in their DMs forever. So like I try to, like, I'm always responding to those people. Like those people have my contact. Like I'm never going to leave them on read. But like the new incomers, I guess, that are DMing me, like I try to just respond when it's something that is actually like significant to the conversation. Like I'm a real person, not just like a generic thanks or like a like or whatever, because that's just also bring, like, I don't know, it's like a little fake. Like it's like you're not actually speaking to them. Like I just always want to be like very mindful of that and like act like a real person on social media.
So true. I mean, we love to voice note in the DMs. We voice note everyone, and everyone is like a little, they're like, oh wow, you used a voice note. I was like, yeah, it's fucking easier for me. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
It expends less energy and it's more real. Yeah. Like if I'm typing something, I'm trying to make it sound nice. I'm like, whatever, whatever. But if I voice note someone, I'm actually giving a fuck about what I'm saying back. And it's more emotional and it's just a real quick minute. You're good. You answered it. It's literally the best. It's the fucking best.
Yeah. It's so fun.
I know. I need to utilize that more. Yeah, I never voice memo, like ever. But I'm so bad at voice memos. Like, I think I didn't respond to yours in so long because, like, I don't open them. Like, whenever I see a voice memo, I'm always like, oh,
I need to dedicate some time for this, or I can't be in public when I'm listening to this.
Natalie, that's what my
receiving voice note sucks. Sending
the receiver, it's a burden. It's a burden for the receiver. My boyfriend is like, sending voice notes is the rudest thing you could do to someone, because they literally, as you said, they have to stop. They have to not be in a quiet place. Like, and I'm just like, I don't give a shit. Like, it's, but usually when you listen to them, they're so much more meaningful than a text. So when you do take the time,
it's my biggest feature for Slack. I just need them to integrate sending voice notes so that I can send my team voice notes all the day. It'll be a rule they can't send me.
How could
no?
Yeah, like, do not send back.
No, I send them a voice note and they text me back.
Wait, so how would that work on the desktop? You would just do some like voice recording on the desktop as well?
I use it a lot on my phone, you know, like I'm out or whatever. Yeah. I'm walking around. Who knows? I'm doing something in the, you know, the living room. And I just, it's just also sometimes with a team, which is why so many fucking Zoom meetings happen, which take up forever, is that what you're trying to explain will just be easier explained in a voice note.
Yeah, in your own voice instead of on a text.
Okay, I have a question, Natalie. So we went off on a rant about voice notes, but what do you do when, let's say sisters are listening to this, they are on the internet, they have a podcast, they have an Instagram, they have a YouTube, they want to be on the internet, they want to build a personal brand. What do you do to keep your inspiration fresh? Like when you think of an idea, do you put it in your notes app and then you go back to that? How do you come up with ideas for content and keep that exciting?
Yeah, so I do like putting things in a notes app if I like something, or like on TikTok, for example, like if there's a sound I want to use in the future, I'll just like save it, even if I don't have like an idea for it yet, you know, just so that I can like go back to it when I do have the idea instead of being like, what was that like sound I heard a while ago? Also, I like to spend the beginning of the month, like I'm very structured. So the very beginning of the month, I go and my calendar and I'll like look at all the sponsorships I have this month. I'll add the videos that I'm going to film for those sponsorships and like put them in those days. And then all of the other days that I have free, like for my own uploading, like non-sponsored content, I'll go in and I'll actually like sit down and like write a video idea, like, and be like, okay, this week I'm doing this, this week I'm doing that, because it is so hard for me to come up with content in the moment when I am like, oh my God, I have a video due in like 2 days. What am I going to film? You know, and like, I can't come up with things on the spot like that. So that's why the beginning of the month for me is such a refresher, because I can like go in and plan everything. And even like TikTok, I don't do it for my personal one as much, but for like Rella, for example, like I'll go in and like plan out the content for the rest of the month, because I'm like, I need to figure out what I'm posting, because I am not an on the spot person. Like I'm not like an on the fly, on the spot person. Instagram, I have a lot more fun with. It's not like I don't actually plan that out, but like for my personal Instagram, but for any business that I'm running, for my YouTube channel, in the beginning of the month, I list goals. I list every video I'm going to upload that month. And then I'll, if I could do like any like preliminary research, like if I need to write a script or if I need to do anything like that, I'll do that on the first or second day of the month. And like, then at the end of the month, I'll check off if I've like met those goals and like all of that, because I'm not an on the fly person.
Yeah, I hear you. It's tricky. I'm trying to find the balance with that too, because I actually find it I understand the time management aspect that comes with like the batch content and the planning, and I try to do as much as possible. But sometimes I can't force brainstorming or inspiration as well. So it's very tricky for me, because I'll be like, okay, Monday's my content days. Let me plan out and let me write out the stuff. But sometimes I just don't feel creative in that moment. So it ends up just being in the moment that I post shit. So it's a weird thing. So when you do that in the beginning of the month, where are you finding the inspiration for even the ideas for YouTube?
Yeah, I guess like, I'm with you though, where like if I don't like batch recording, like I will never batch record, because I'm so bad at that. Like I hate it. I wish I liked it. Like I really wish I was good at it, because it would make life easier, but I can't batch record. But for like ideas, I'll go and I'll like scroll on social media. Like I'll scroll on YouTube and I'll scroll on TikTok and I'll scroll on whatever. And I'll try to see like, oh, is that a good idea? Okay, like let me go and add that. So I really spend a lot of time like, because sometimes I'll scroll on like TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and I'm watching mindlessly. I'm just watching as a consumer, and that's it. And then there's other times where I'm on it specifically like looking for ideas. So it's very like, I kind of have like two different modes when I'm just like mindlessly scrolling and I'm a consumer and I'm laughing and I'm liking everything and I am not going to put pressure on making this a brainstorming session or an inspiration session. And then there's other times when I'll look on it and like I'm like specifically looking for things that I think I could implement. So it's kind of like a mode shift in my brain where it's either brainstorming or like inspo time.
It's so true. And it's hard. Yeah, I feel that exactly too. I feel like I am not on social media ever for just personal enjoyment. I mean, TikTok is a different story, but I don't think I've like scrolled through my personal Instagram.
So
and, like,
I started doing that.
Yeah.
I started doing that after my book launch just because I think I was so stressed that I mindlessly was numbing out. And all of a sudden, I've had so much anxiety and I've had such a toxic relationship to my phone now, or to Instagram specifically, because my scrolling increased. And so I think it's very interesting. But can I talk about one way I'm being creative on the internet?
Sure, Scout. It's your podcast.
Yeah. Oh. Oh my God, it's my podcast.
You can do whatever the fuck you want.
I mean, until you tell me not to and you shut it down real quick, which
I would love to hear.
Happens frequently. So I was thinking about it because we're talking about, you know, sometimes you're in an Instagram rut, et cetera, et cetera. But the essence of Instagram, I love. I will forever be on Instagram. Most of the other platforms are not for me, obviously, except podcasting, obviously. But I am not really a video person. I'm not a Twitter person, like whatever. The idea of crafting photos really is so much fun for me. And so I had this idea that I am going to do a photo shoot every single month. But it's not just like an outfit photo shoot, a lifestyle photo shoot. Each photo shoot's going to have a vision and a mood, etc. So it kind of started when I launched my book and I did this whole really excessive, dramatic photo shoot in this huge green dress, and we photoshopped books all around me and I had black gloves on, and it was so much fun to create this fantasy character that wasn't really me in my day to day. And so I've decided to treat myself to once a month photo shoot, and every single month.
Do I get to come?
No.
Okay.
Every single month, the vibe is totally different. So this next photo shoot I'm doing is really kind of soft at home flash vibes, very minimalist, like no makeup kind of thing. And so every month I dream up a new editorial idea, and I don't actually take photos where it's just me in my normal clothes living my daily life. It's something a little bit more curated.
So it feels more artistic almost.
Yeah, it feels like a magazine photo shoot.
Yeah, that seems more your vibe. Like to me,
it makes me so excited.
And that's great. I mean,
I love that.
Would not like that, but that's great. That's
right? Isn't that so perfect for me?
That's so perfect for you. For me, it's like I just want to look like a schlup person and like look.
Are you then into like in making Instagram casual again, or are you like, no, I don't want to make Instagram casual? Both of you.
Oh, I'm fine with that.
What
I'm
do you mean? What does that mean, casual?
So like, you know, there was like, I feel like a couple years ago, it was the norm that every influencer or content creator would need to have these, exactly what you're just saying, these big photo shoots in order to create content. Whereas now it's like, it really is back to this more casual, more unfiltered type of realness. And I'm on that spectrum, but I don't necessarily not enjoy the artistic and the beauty that people like you, Scout, would be putting out. Just for me, I more so get a little, I'm obsessed with aesthetic TikToks. I'm sure you've seen these where they do like a little morning routine. And I am obsessed with it. The thing that gives me anxiety is that I have all the things. I'm very fortunate. I have all the things. I have the cute apartment that I could do the things in. Okay. I have the cute mugs. I have it. But I'm that girl. You know what I mean? I am that girl, but like funny and can't take photos of it. You know what I mean? So I try to do it. And I'm like, this is not looking the way that it's supposed to. So that's where I get anxiety. So then, does that make sense?
It makes sense. But for me, I was listening to Liv Prez's podcast and she had someone on, I forget who it was. And they were talking about how fashion has lost imagination, just the fashion world, the fashion editorial spreads in magazines, etc. And that's really the world that I originally fell in love with. You know, I was reading Teen Vogue as a really young girl and I would get lost in these incredible, incredible editorial spreads. And so that's it for me. It's just this imagination spot. And it's not necessarily a departure from your reality, but it's just appreciation for the mundane, of course. But it's also this idea that your world can be as fantastical as you want it to. And I think that providing this photo shoot that has an editorial direction and has a very specific vibe and inspiration and feel and muse behind it is so exciting to flex our creative things, because we're given these platforms for free, right? We don't need a magazine. We don't need a business behind us to creatively express ourselves. So for me, the casual is super great. I love it. And I am just craving imagination. What about you, Natalie? Which way do you go?
I guess I'm kind of both, because I think making Instagram casual, we're not actually making it casual. We're making people think it's casual when it's not.
Totally.
Dude, 100%. I'm like, okay, how do I be vulnerable on the internet today? Let me just share how I'm, you know.
It's also like the effortless no makeup. I just snapped a photo at like, brunch. Bitch. That's not what it is.
It's not it. So it honestly, I feel like makes people feel worse about themselves, even though it's supposed to do the opposite.
That's what she's talking about. She's trying to be casual, but she's falling into the loop of not looking good casual.
Okay, how many things? Why doesn't it look like that? Like, it's ridiculous.
Exactly. Like, it kind of bothers me because I'm like, I know that that wasn't as effortless as you're making it look. And it wasn't as like, oh, I just snapped a photo, or like, oh, I just rolled out of bed and like started working out this morning. Like, no. You propped up your camera. You made sure the lighting was good.
Natalie.
You made sure there was no mess in the background. And then you made it look casual.
You literally speak my language.
You filmed it at 2 p.m. and said it was 7 in the morning.
These TikToks where they're doing these morning routines, I'm like, where is the camera? Where is the phone? You fucking put it up on a ledge with a tripod. Like, how much
And your
work
eyes
was
look
that?
Awake. Your eyes look
You're
awake.
You're awake. You have the tripod. Yeah. You're literally filming.
You know what?
You in
wow.
bed taking off the comforter.
Okay.
You went back in bed to do the comforter. Like, I think
hot
about
take,
this all the
hot
time.
Hot take. Casual content is actually more detrimental to our self-esteem than non-casual 100%. Content because the imagination stuff, that is another world. It's not regular life and you know it. You know it's fantasy. But the casual content that looks so fucking good and you can't get there, like Maddie taking a fucking photo shoot with cherries like this, you know what I mean? Like, that makes you feel bad about yourself because you don't think you're inherently enough because those photos are advertised as them just being them.
Yes. Like, it's so frustrating to me seeing. And like, TikTok is like queen of doing that because it's like, oh, this is just such a quick little video that I'm posting, or like a quick morning routine, or like,
took you an hour.
Yeah.
Took 3 hours to probably film and edit.
TikToks
that.
Are so hard for me to edit. And like, making things look so aesthetic, like making my day look aesthetic, making look what I'm doing look like I'm having fun, or like even those trends of like, post these 18 clips together to this sound. And it's like, oh my God, that person's literally living the best life ever because it's like they're at an EDM concert and they're with their friends and they're taking shots and they're doing all of this stuff. And it's like, that was the most curated 18 shots. Do not tell me that was like the last ones in your camera roll. Like, that was literally like the, like supposed to look good.
You know what? We need to romanticize our life offline. Like yesterday, this is really fucked up. But when you become a content creator, this is how you think. And it's very detrimental potentially to our psychology. I was sitting outside in this white breezy dress, no bra. You could totally see through. I was barefoot. My hair was curly.
Sounds on brand for
you. It was underneath a tree in the shade. And I like lounged down in my Acapulco chair and I just read Kurt Vonnegut in the afternoon. And, you know, Adam was roasting coffee outside and it was just this beautiful, picturesque, actual romanticized moment that we try to get on the internet. And I thought, like, this would be an awesome video right now. I should get my phone. And I said, no, that's not the point. And so I think that we romanticize our life to create video clips instead of just actually sitting there and looking at the beautiful stuff around us, because it looked picturesque. The whole thing looked picturesque. But in that moment, I had to know, or I had to make it so that that was enough for me, just that I experienced it picturesque.
Yeah. And I feel like also with that, like, I do the same thing. Like, if I'm doing something, or let's even say like an outfit, for example, like if I have a good outfit on, I need to take a photo, or I feel like, why did I wear this? And I'm like, wait, I wore it because I looked good and I wanted to wear it. Like, not everything needs to be documented. Not everything needs a photo. Like, I'll be kind of similar to you. Like, I'll be sitting out on my patio, like reading a nice book, and I'll like take an Instagram story. And it's like, I don't need to do that. Like, that's not, am I doing this to take an Instagram story, or am I doing this so that, because I actually like enjoy it? As content creators, it's hard to honestly decipher the difference sometimes.
Our digital avatar is truly becoming a part of our psyche and our identity.
Oh, it is like 90% of it. It's so sad. I mean, Scout and I also had this conversation. We're going to Tulum in the next week, and for her birthday, you know, Tulum is like a wet dream for influencers. Like, it's a wet dream for content creators. And we vowed, I think, to just not to not take, you know, photos. Of course, we're going to take photos. We schlepped all the way out there. But we're not putting the pressure. Like, we're not going to be, like, doing our hair, which is a huge thing for us. Like, we're going to go.
I'm not bringing makeup. I'm bringing, like, mascara.
Like, we are really leaning into, this is a time for us to just relax or to enjoy and live in the moment. And
not even enjoy and live in the moment. Like, it's really scary because, like, I'm not going to lie. Like, a couple of days ago, I was like, fuck, like, but I really want some cute photos.
Yeah. And it's like this pressure.
And it's like, we can't just be like, we cannot just fucking be in a place anymore. Like, could you imagine going to Tulum for a whole week and not posting one photo?
No. And I know it's not like we're not going to do that, but I think we should embody this mantra of romanticize your life offline. Like, I think should just, if there is a moment you take a photo, there is, whatever. But I don't think there needs to be this pressure of us, you know, lining up TikToks to, like, make sure we do this there and whatever. Like,
I just want one nice photo on my 30th.
That's
it. Well, I think even, like, so many people do that now with, like, any big part of their life that I'm like, are you doing this because, like, you want the Instagram photos, or are you doing it because you actually want to? And I'm gonna even go as far as saying, like, weddings. Like,
wedding content for sure.
Weddings, I'm like, are you getting married because you guys really want to get married, or do you just want the Instagram photos?
No, I would say, are you throwing the wedding that you're throwing because you want that wedding, or you want the Instagram content?
Yeah. Or, like, you know, like, there's so many instances like that in just, like, real life that people just want to use for, like, Instagram content. And it's so sad. And, like, I fall into it too. Like, I am preaching to the choir. Like, me going to a trip, like, I'm definitely, like, planning out my outfits and taking all these photos, or, like, I don't know, like, the outfit thing. Like, you want to make sure that you get the best outfit and then take the best photos for it, or else I'm not going to dress up. If I'm not going to take a photo, I'm just not going to dress up. And I'm like, wait, why? Like, I should just do that because I want to, like, yeah,
we literally live our lives for online. But I will say that, you know, I was in middle school, I was in eighth grade, MySpace wasn't a thing yet, or maybe it was in eighth grade, but even in seventh grade, one of my favorite things to do before the real internet happened was to get dressed up and take photo shoots. I would do that in middle school. Me and my girlfriends would get dressed up in our thrift store clothing, and we would have the digital camera.
You
and
fit right into Gen Z. Look at you, Scout.
I wouldn't go that far. And I would take cute photos. I have some at the boat. I have some with, like, this cool car I saw, you know, and it was really fun for me. And so that's the part that I actually have always loved, pre-social media or not. I loved dressing up and taking photos. And so that's the energy I'm bringing back with this monthly photo shoot. And so I think, okay, so the three of us are going to take a vow right here, right now, to romanticize our life offline.
I love it.
So Natalie, why don't we wrap this up with you giving us some examples of things in your life that feel so pure, so wholesome, and that you feel like you've been romanticizing, regardless of if it's online or offline, but just things that, like, really, like, make your heart flutter that have been happening to you lately.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, like, I am pretty private online with, like, my relationship, for example. Like, I don't post about my boyfriend that often. Any date that we go on, like, we barely have photos together. We barely have videos together. Like, I don't get when people post, like, the cutest little montages of them and their boyfriend, like, dancing and kissing and hugging, all of this. And I'm like, where is the camera? Like, are you setting it up, then hitting record, and, like, your boyfriend's willingly going along with this? Because, like, mine would literally never.
Oh my God. My boyfriend is literally like, get that phone away from me. Like, I don't want to see it at all.
So I would say, honestly, like, my relationships, I romanticize a lot. Like, whenever I'm hanging out with friends, whenever I'm hanging out with my boyfriend, when we're going on date nights, like, I really never document that ever. And so I would say those are moments where I'm, like, very, very in tune. Like, when I'm with friends, for example, I am not looking at my phone once. Like, I don't pick up my phone. I don't look at my phone. I always hate when I'm with a group of friends and, like, everyone's on their phone, like, at the dinner table. And I'm always thinking, like, oh my God, like, are we that group that's, like, everyone's on their phone, like, no one's paying attention to each other. So, like, I really try to be present and in the moment and, like, romanticize, you know, those moments of, like, being young and in my 20s and, like, with people that I love. So I would say those are moments that I romanticize. Or, like, I had friends visiting me a few weeks ago, and, like, I didn't post a single photo. I didn't even take a photo. I didn't post a single video, nothing. And, like, we went out, we went to a concert, we did all this stuff, and it was just, like, so much fun. And, like, I didn't post a single piece of content from it, but it was still, like, such a great time. And the memories I made, like, that weekend are, some that I'm literally going to remember forever, but like I didn't document it, and like that's okay. It was still like such a great weekend.
And that's proof. I think that's a great proof and reminder that you can have fun without documenting things, you know?
Yeah. Honestly, like it's so much fun to not have that pressure of like having to have your phone out, you know? And I like documenting things because I like having things to look back on, like even if you don't post it anywhere, but it's also so important to just be like in the moment with your friends and like, or with the people that you love, like with your family, friends. That's one thing I feel like I've done. I romanticize a lot. It's like when I'm with people, I really don't document and post and anything like that. Cause like, I really want to like enjoy the moment.
You're much more, I think, ahead of most people in that regard. So that's really amazing. Wow. This was
delightful.
This was delightful. I honestly, I do feel better. I think I feel a little more inspired, a little more willing to just not put so much pressure on this entire hamster wheel that we are on. And honestly, like,
put the imagination back, the creativity back.
Totally. Natalie Barbeau, I'm going to say your name like 5 more times today because I just love it. Tell us. And the sisterhood where
our last question.
Oh my god, I forgot.
Okay, so we ask every woman who comes on OK Sis This, if you could brag about one thing and don't be humble, what would you brag about?
Ooh, this is such a good question. I actually love this question. I would say I am very proud of what I've accomplished, not even by a certain age, just like what I've accomplished. I think I'm very proud that I was able to, you know, be persistent on my YouTube channel. Like, I never blew up. I never had a viral video. I grew so much slower than like literally everyone I know, I feel like. And like, I still was very persistent, like made it a full-time thing, starting Rella, like starting a business and going for it, even if, you know, there's no guarantee that you're going to be successful. Like, I feel like I'm very proud that I do things that I want to do. And like, I'm a very determined person, and like whatever I set my mind to, I at least try to do it and try to accomplish it. So I'm very proud of that.
Yeah, you do.
Beautiful. And I love that you said not even by a certain age, because I think that's very important too as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter that I'm like however old I am. Like, I'd be proud if I did this when I was like 50, you know? Yes. Like, doesn't matter.
Amen. Okay, love. Tell everyone where they can find you.
Yeah. So you can find me at Natalie Barbeau on Instagram, YouTube. I have a podcast called The Real Real Podcast, which you guys are coming on tomorrow, which I'm very excited about. And also Rella, which is my company, you can find at Rella Social.
Yay. Thanks, Lev. And you can find us on Instagram at Scout Sobel,
at Maddie Mayo,
and at OK Sis Podcast.
Love you, sisters.
Do you ever feel like you're struggling through motherhood? You're not alone. I'm Erica Jossa, host of the MomWell podcast, therapist and mom of three. Join me each Wednesday as I sit down with guests, including psychologists, pediatricians, psychiatrists, fertility specialists, lactation consultants, and more, to unravel the myths of motherhood. With expert advice, practical tips, self-love, and some coping skills to help you along the way, you can become the mother you want to be. Listen to the MomWell podcast at momwell.com/listen or on your favorite podcast platform.